Before we look into this word, shall we all look unto the Lord in prayer? Loving Jesus, we want to welcome you into our rooms this morning. Father, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. May the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, proceed from your throne room and accomplish your will here on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Jesus, we pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear you and see you as you are. We come at this time once again into your care, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I would request, before we start the sermon, can we read the word together? I would request Samantha, Arun, Sushil, Vinci, and Pooja to help us with that. Genesis 21 verses 1 to 7 and Genesis 22 verses 1 to 19.
I'm reading from Genesis 21 verses 1 to 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.
Abraham took the wood for a burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb of the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on the top of the wood. Then he reached out to his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught up by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.
The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together, for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Thank you, everyone. So I would like to draw attention to Genesis 12, verse 4. So this promise that was given to Abraham by God himself was that I will make you a great nation. In Genesis 12, verse 4, God says that I will make you a great nation. So, and Abraham was 75 years old then. He was 75 years old. But when Isaac was born, we see that Abraham was 100 years old. So Abraham had to wait for 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. To receive the promised son, he had to wait for 25 years. And if you look into the background, it seemed almost impossible that Abraham and Sarah could have a child. One of the reasons was that Sarah was barren. Genesis 18 verse 12, it says that both of them were old. And it was not possible that they could have a child according to the medical terms and conditions. But that is when God comes through. When situation seems completely impossible and obscure, that is when our Heavenly Father comes through. So he comes through in this situation also. And Abraham, when he was 100 years old, he got his promised son, Isaac, whom he loved very much. Jeremiah 32 verse 27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for me, asks the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Though Sarah was barren, they were old and all those things, but still God came through and they received their promised son. Growing up, I remember that we used to pray for this uncle and auntie who were my dad and mom's age. And every week as a house group, we used to pray for this couple. And at the age of 50, she gave birth to a healthy baby girl at the age of 50. And they named her Blessy. And they are a happy, healthy family living in Kerala now. So there is nothing too hard for God. Time is not a matter. God is always on time. He comes through when the situation seems almost impossible. So friends, I want to encourage you this morning that if God has promised you something, hold on to it. He is faithful and there is nothing too hard for our Lord. Amen. So our God is a promise keeper. That is the first point that I would like us to draw attention to. I have not written all these things on the PPT, so maybe if you feel the Lord is speaking to you specifically about something, then please note down in your journal or on the electronic device. So our God is a promise keeper. Secondly, what we understand from this passage in Genesis 22 is that God tests his children. God tests his children. So we see that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Verse 2 says, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." So God tested Abraham. James 2:23 says that Abraham was called the friend of God. He walked in great intimacy with God. He had a deep, intimate relationship with God. And when God asked him to sacrifice his only son, that to the promised son, all that God wanted to do was stretch his faith. All that God wanted to do was stretch his faith. Let us ponder upon this question. Why would an all-knowing, omniscient God test us? God knows everything. Then why does he need to test us? Does he not know how we would react to that situation? Of course he does. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. And he knows our thoughts afar off. Even before we think of it, he knows already what we are going to think. So why does God test his children? The reason he tests us is for our benefit. It is to stretch our faith. James 2:24 says that you see then that it is by our actions that we are put right with God and not by our faith alone. So faith followed by action is what God is looking out for. A faith that is followed by action. And when faith is followed by action, faith is not just an abstract quantity. It is manifest in the physical realm as well. So that is one reason why God tests us. God tests us to stretch our faith. The second reason is that the root word for the root Hebrew word for the word test is nes, which is similar to the word miracles. The word nes, that is a part of the word of the Hebrew word for test, is the meaning of nes is miracles. So nes, which is the root word for test, also means miracles. So when God tests us, that means he wants to show a miracle. He wants to do a miracle in our life. So remember always this, that when God is going to test us, or when he is testing us, he is going to bring a testimony out of it. So the second thing that we can take away this morning is that God turns test into testimony. The first is that God is a promise keeper. Second, God turns test into a testimony. The third thing that I'd like to highlight this morning is the obedience that Abraham had. And I would like to call it robotic obedience. Robotic obedience. What I mean by robotic is that when you give a command to a programmed robot, all that it will do is it will obey instantly. It is not going to question why, what, how, when. It is going to obey immediately. And that's what we see in verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. So we see that God told Abraham, take your son and go. And immediately the next morning, he goes. He does all the preparation that is required and he set out on the journey. Now, if you look into the previous chapters, just before that, we see that the Lord put Abraham, the previous chapter, just before this, I think it is 17 and 18, of Genesis, we see that the Lord revealed to Abraham that I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was his reaction? He said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous people, will you destroy the whole city for and not spare them? These 50. So he keeps bargaining with God. We see that he pleads with God, he bargains with God and says that if there are 45, 40, 30, 10 righteous people, will you destroy the whole city for that? So, when the Lord told him that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he was so concerned that he kept asking the Lord, Lord, are you really going to destroy them? Are you really going to destroy if there are righteous people? But when it came to his only son, the son whom he loved the most, the promised son, Abraham did not say a word. He did not question God at all. But immediately, the next day, the early morning the next day, he set out on his journey. What could be the reason? Abraham knew that the God who promised is faithful. He knew that God, once he gives a promise, he is going to keep it. So the faith that is followed by actions is faith. That is what Abraham is trying to teach us here. And that is why he's a hero of faith. So he instantly obeyed the Lord and went on a journey. Now the journey from the place where he was living to the place where the Lord showed him in the region of Moriah on that mountain, that journey was almost 3 days. But all throughout the journey, he did not reveal the plan to his son or the servants. He kept on, he endured, he lingered. He knew that the God who promised him that he's going to make him a great nation, he's going to make his descendants like the stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore, the same thing, the same God is going to fulfill his promise. So on the journey for 3 days, he did not reveal the plan, but yet he held on to the promise that God gave him. And then we see the blessing God told him in verse 16, if we see that the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time that and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? If you see a reflection of this story of Abraham, this test of Abraham in the New Testament, if you see a reflection of that in the New Testament, we see that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, here on earth so that we could be saved. As Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, his only son, the son whom he most loved, Isaac. As Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac, in the same way, God willed that he would sacrifice his only begotten son, Jesus, so that through his precious blood, our sins could be made whole. We would be cleansed and made complete. So the three things that we can take from this passage is that God is a promise keeper. Secondly, he turns test into a testimony. Thirdly, that obey him no matter what. Robotic obedience is what I would call it. So can we just close our eyes and ask the Lord what he's trying to say? And I would also encourage you that you would bring to your memory this time that all the promises God has given you, which has not been fulfilled. And I want to encourage you this morning that he is going to fulfill it. So can we just close our eyes and press on, linger on to his promise, because he who promised is faithful. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, Lord, you are. You are the way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, Lord. We want to thank you and praise you because you are the promise keeper. Lord, we know that when we go through tests, all you want to do is to bring a testimony out of it. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that all we have to do is rest in your arms, in your presence, because you are the way maker and you are the promise keeper, Lord. Father, we want to commit our lives once again into your care. We know, Lord, that the promises that you have given us, you are going to fulfill it, Heavenly Father. Because a word that comes out of your mouth, it shall never return to you void, but it shall accomplish that which pleaseth you. Father, I pray this morning that you would fulfill those promises that you have already sealed in heaven. And that it will be manifest in the physical realm of God. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.